me, is one of the most serious problems we're confronting. Somehow, this self-help industry has flourished, and we have a whole set now of beliefs about how life ought to be led, what you should do when you're suffering, how you deal with addiction, what you do when you have cancer, how you deal with any problem in life, somehow that you're broken, someone knows how to fix you. 2% of all the books ever written are self-help books. Now, you might say only 2%, but that's thousands. And in spite of these thousands of self-help books, we don't seem to be much happier. We'll talk tonight about the data that shows that 4 out of 5 Americans are still not all that happy. They're sort of languishing and mistaking a very intense life for a meaningful one. And this really struck me, George. I must tell you, when I was dying of cancer 15 years ago, people kept bringing in self-help books with advice. The metaphor here was they brought in so many of those that I kept sticking them under my bed, and I couldn't even operate my hospital bed because I had so many stupid self-help books.
It was jamming the bed, huh?
It jammed my life system somehow. And as we talk tonight, and your listeners talk with us, this has become almost, George, a religion. And when I question these hypotheses about think positively, always express your anger, tune into your inner feelings, get your feelings out, always be forgiving, never think negatively, always think positively, a bad attitude prevents healing, stress causes disease, these things have become such mythologies. And I know, George, for you as a professional on the radio, you must get bombarded with self-help books every day trying to get on your show to promote. And I know from our years together that the one kind of book you don't cover on your show are self-help books, that is that program. And I'm assuming because you at least want somebody who's got some data, some information that can answer the question that your listeners ask. How do you know? Who told you? Where is the science, for heaven's sakes? So this has become such an industry that if your listeners want to be, really help themselves, write a self-help book. That's how you make the money. That's how you solve your problems. And almost every one of these sort of bromides, what I call the McMorals of life, are sort of accepted as how you're supposed to lead your life. And when I question them, people not only want to discuss it, they get very, very angry that for one of the most central ones of all, and I'll bet it'll come up tonight when we talk, is that premise of self-help, you must first love yourself before you can love anyone else. Well, I'm here to tell you, that is a crock. It's a crock. You know, loving you is somebody else's job, not yours. And this idea of self, and we talked about it before even with transplant, this idea of self is... I call it the curse of self. Somehow, this idea that we can think about ourselves, you know, animals can do probably a little of that, but they don't spend much time doing it.
Well, see, and I think, Paul, the thing that most of these books fail to achieve is the one thing that I believe in explicitly, and that is that there is a science of something in the universe that is so powerful that gives us all the ability to tap into it and to do some incredible things, either with our mind, with our bodies, with our intuitiveness. There's something out there scientifically and spiritually that is available to you and to me and everybody else. But so many of these self-help books don't take you down that path.
They don't, and you know why? In my view, as a scientist, and we'll talk about it this evening, is they are profane, just what you just said. They're profane because they deal with these simple steps. They've taken anything sacred, spiritual, really out of life, and given you steps to follow, even if they claim to be spiritual. It's almost always 7. Have you ever noticed? It's almost always 7. And that's probably because neurologically you can remember, you know, phone numbers have 7 digits, and you don't hear about Snow White and the 8 Dwarfs, for heaven's sakes. It's always 7. So they build on these things, and I think you're absolutely right. They have missed the science of something more, that there is a lot more out there. But when you look at the back of most of these self-help books, where's the research? Boy, George, did I get in trouble at a recent lecture when I said I've had my fill with Dr. Phil. Because
whoa, you went after him?
Listen, I'm not talking about him personally now. I'm talking about what he's...
I know, but he's a giant now, isn't he?
Oh, yes. And boy, did I pay a price. Well, let me give you some... This is going to be a scandal. I'm going to get this out on the radio so everybody hears this. I was interviewed for this book. You know, I've written 16 books. And they're all full of references, as you can see there on your desk. And I was interviewed for O Magazine, Oprah's magazine.
By the way, many of your books are in the self-help section. Did you know that?
Absolutely. But I don't know how they because they're always, I wonder, why do you please don't put them in there? And they end up over there anyway, including this one, because they said the last self-help, it goes into the self-help book. So they interviewed me about this, and then they found out, like, oh, my word, you're criticizing Dr. Phil, you're criticizing positive thinking, you're criticizing you got to love yourself first. So the editor of O Magazine censored it out and would not put it in the magazine. At the last minute, dropped it from the magazine.
That cost you a lot.
This questioned Oprah. Oprah's become the queen of self-help. Dr. Phil is the king of self-help. I don't know if anybody's aware of it, but if you watch Dr. Phil's show, he knows everything about everything. He can, and he even interviews our presidential candidates for us. We better start looking at, we mistake celebrity for credibility. It is amazing to me that these people who become the people who tell us how we lead our life, and we'll talk about the premises, that are not ever asked, even by the media. I don't just blame these gurus when they go on Larry King or something. They're just accepted, and no one says, but how do you know? Where's the references in the back of the book? Who made you the guru of these things?